Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be back here. I've been here once before to preach, but also a couple times to visit, and so it's lovely to be here again. My name is Diane Lewis, and today I will be speaking on the book of Jonah, as Tiu mentioned. And as Joseph kindly read for us, thank you, that was quite long, we will be focusing on the second half rather than the better known first half of the book. And so Jonah's encounter with the big fish is one of the most famous stories in the Old Testament. It is a Sunday school classic. People from all over the world have heard the story of the prophet Jonah, how he ran away from God, got caught in a storm at sea, and was thrown overboard, only to be swallowed by a whale. I'm sure many of you, like me, first heard the story when you were young. I heard the story of Jonah when I was in school in the Philippines. There are many children's books, just like these two examples, and there are many more, about Jonah because it's so vivid. You can't help but imagine what it must have been like for this prophet to be in the belly of a big fish. And so when Tiu first asked me to speak to you today on Jonah, I have to confess that I struggled at first because I felt that I was too familiar with the story. I had to read and then reread and actually listen to it several times before I began to get a sense of what God might want to say to us today through this fantastical tale of a rebellious prophet. I think this often happens when we grow too familiar with a passage. It becomes hard to hear it afresh. But as I sat with Jonah, I began to notice how God is still speaking through this little book. It's only four chapters long, written over 2,500 years ago, yet it's still deeply relevant for us today in 2025. And so, who is Jonah, and what might God want to teach us today through his life? Now, for a very quick refresher on what happened during the first half of the book of Jonah, when he was first called by God to go to Nineveh, Jonah ran away from God. Instead of going east to Nineveh, he went west to Tarshish. And here's a slide. So he's in Joppa, and he's supposed to go to Nineveh, but instead he decided to go all the way to Tarshish. A friend of mine joked that Jonah fled so far away from Nineveh that he ended up in Wales. Anyway, so while on a ship bound to Tarshish, which likely was one of the furthest ports, that's only an idea of maybe where Tarshish was, we're not quite sure. So when he went away, it was probably one of the furthest ports away in the Mediterranean Sea. God sent a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. And even seasoned sailors feared for their lives. And so the story goes that the captain, realizing that something supernatural was at work, went below deck and found Jonah asleep. When the sailors discovered that Jonah was a Hebrew who worshiped the Lord, they were terrified. They asked him what they needed to do for God to calm down the storm. And Jonah's response was quite shocking. He told them to throw him overboard. And so the captain and the sailors were hesitant. They tried their best to row to the shore to spare Jonah's life, but the storm grew worse. They cried out for mercy and asked God not to hold them accountable for Jonah's death. Then they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And in awe, everyone on the boat feared the Lord, offered a sacrifice, and made vows to him. And God, who is the maker of the heavens and the earth, the sea, and that's all, and all that's in it, commanded a fish to rescue Jonah. I really quite like this slide because that fish looks really scary. And this is where he famously spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, crying out to God. And in God's mercy, he commanded the fish to vomit Jonah out onto the dry land. And so that leads us to chapter 3, where Jonah goes to Nineveh. So with our Jonah part 1 refresher out of the way, I will now focus on two points this afternoon. It will be Jonah's rebellion and the non-Hebrew's repentance, and Jonah's contempt and the Lord's compassion. So our story, as was read earlier, picks up when the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And this time, Jonah actually heads to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a great city, the capital of Assyria and an enemy of Israel. The Assyrians were brutal and were famous for their cruelty and violence. The Bible describes the city of Nineveh as so large that it would take 3 whole days to walk across this great city. But here's the curious thing. Jonah only walked 1 day into the city, spoke just 5 words in Hebrew. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And surprisingly, the whole city, all of its subjects, including the king, even the animals, repented. And because of that, Nineveh was spared. If you've noticed, something unusual is happening in this story. It's quite unlike the other stories of prophets in the Bible. So the book of Jonah is showing us that in 2 distinct instances, whether it's the sailors bound for Tarshish or the non-Hebrew Ninevites, these non-believers all heard the word of the Lord and responded in obedience. They humbly repented of their sins. And as a result, God had mercy on them, and they ended up fearing the Lord. It's curious to see that it's the non-believers in the story that are more obedient and responsive to God than his own prophet. As Old Testament scholar James Lindberg notes, the people of the world are demonstrating to the people of God how they ought to conduct themselves. So what does this say about God? I believe that through the book of Jonah, God was reminding the Israelites God's promise to Abraham. While it's true that Israel is God's chosen people, his intention was to bless all the nations of the earth through them. But what happened to the Hebrew people at this point in Jonah's story? They were terrorized by the Assyrians and other surrounding nations, and so they huddled together and forgot their calling as a nation. Instead of being a blessing to surrounding nations, they chose self-preservation and adopted an us versus them mentality. God, through the book of Jonah, is reminding the Israelites of their original call and how God is the creator of all the earth, including their neighbors. This little book throws a big punch. It is a wake-up call to sleepy Israel, reminding them of the reality of the world they live in. God commands the sea and the fish. He commands the vine and the worm. He causes a storm and he causes the hot wind to blow. The pagan sailors and the brutal Ninevites repent, and God forgives them. God has compassion on all, not just the Israelites. And this is astonishing to Jonah. So astonishing that he simply could not understand God. Jonah thought that he knew better than God. Now we'll move on to my second point, which is Jonah's contempt and God's compassion. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 1, it says this: "But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry." First of all, why was Jonah so angry? He was angry that he actually asked God to take away his life. That was the intensity of his anger. And as I reflected on this passage, I think it all comes down to this. Jonah thought he knew better than God. It was ultimately Jonah's pride for his nation, his people, the Hebrews, that he was in grave disappointment. He experienced grave disappointment in God when he chose to forgive and show compassion to Nineveh, Israel's enemy. Jonah even confesses here in chapter 4 that he ran away to Tarshish because he knew something about God's character, that God is merciful and that he would forgive the Ninevites if they repented. And so Jonah ran away because he didn't want the Ninevites to be spared. He wanted them to burn to the ground. So in chapter 4, verse 5, we see Jonah outside the city, waiting to see what might happen. There's him sitting overlooking the city. He was still hoping at this point that God would destroy Nineveh. But God doesn't just leave Jonah to sit alone in his rage. He approaches Jonah and reasons with him. He sends a vine to protect him from the heat of the storm, then commands a worm to destroy the vine that brought him comfort. He does all of this to illustrate a point. It seems to me that God is speaking to Jonah here as a parent might speak to their child who is not getting their way. And so God's compassion toward Jonah, his patience, his gentle reasoning, reminded me of the story of the prodigal son. However, in this instance, Jonah is both the younger brother, the younger prodigal son, and the self-righteous older brother. Timothy Keller, in his book, The Prodigal Prophet, explains, Jonah takes turns acting both as the younger brother and the older brother. In the first two chapters, Jonah disobeys and runs away from the Lord, yet ultimately repents and asks for God's grace, just as the younger brother leaves home but returns repentant. In the last two chapters, however, Jonah obeys God's command to preach to Nineveh, and in both cases, however, he's trying to get control of the agenda. When God accepts the repentance of the Ninevites, just like the older brother in Luke 15, Jonah bristles with self-righteous anger at God's graciousness and mercy to sinners. So God, being the kind and compassionate father that he is, meets Jonah where he is. First, when he tried to run away from God, and second, to reason with him outside the city walls, to patiently teach him and to help him understand the heart of the Father. And so the book of Jonah ends in a very unusual way. God, after reasoning with Jonah, asks him a question. He says in chapter 4, verse 11, and it's up here, you have been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? The story of Jonah ends with God's question lingering in the air, and there are no answers. And so as the story of Jonah comes to a close, we realize that God is reasoning with Jonah and at the same time speaking to each one of us. So how might God be speaking to us today through Jonah's story? As we reflect, I have here an image of a stained glass window showing Jonah looking upon the city of Nineveh. I don't know if you can see it right there. This photo is from the Christ Church Cathedral in Oxford. And as we reflect, I'll just leave this up there. And so as I was reflecting, I have a couple of takeaways for us today. The first one is, we are Jonah. We are both the prodigal son and the self-righteous older brother. We get mad and upset at God when things don't go our way or when we don't understand why he allows certain things to unfold in our lives. In our frustration, we run away from him. But in this story, we see God's compassion, not only to the non-Hebrews in the story who repent, but also toward Jonah, the prodigal prophet. God kindly speaks to him and even reasons with him as a father would a son. We're reminded that God's ways are greater than ours, and this reminded me of Isaiah 55, 8-9, and it says this, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So what is God encouraging us to do here? I believe that he is encouraging us to realize once more that he is God and we are not. We may think we know better than him, but his ways are higher. There are things in life that are too great for us to understand. Perhaps there are hardships that we're enduring without clear answers. And at times, in the face of difficulty, it may even seem that God is silent. And I've had my own struggles with God and felt anger when things did not go my way. Yet, through that wrestling, I've been continuously humbled and reminded that that God's calling is Christward. Often this means walking the way of the cross, the way of suffering. Our world, through media and in its various forms, tells us that we are the masters of our fate and the captain of our soul. But it tells us that life should always be on this upward trajectory, and we are crushed when things don't go our way. But this is not the promise that Jesus has for us. He says that in this world, you will have trouble, but to take heart because he has overcome the world. Jonah was baffled when things didn't go his way. He tried to take control by running away, yet God had greater plans. In our lives, when things don't go our way, it's easy to run from God in our hearts or to grow bitter towards him. Yet the book of Jonah shows us that we have a God who cares deeply for us, for our neighbors, and for all of creation. God is the God of the whole earth, the seas, the land, the universe itself. He is in control, and we can trust that one day, as Julian of Norwich wrote in the Revelations of the Divine Love, that all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. We can trust God, who is in control. And so the second takeaway is that this is a hard one, we are called to love our enemies. Again, this is very tough. Loving our enemies is incredibly difficult. Jonah was angry because the Ninevites were being let off the hook from his perspective. The Assyrians, after all, were known for their extreme brutality, and they were enemies of Israel. Yet in this story, God has mercy on them. He forgives them, and he relents from sending calamity. And Jonah is furious. I actually sympathize with Jonah here, because the Ninevites were extremely violent as a nation. And yet, God has mercy even on them. When they humbled themselves and repented, they sought the Lord and hoped for his grace. And so my question for us this afternoon is, who is your Nineveh? In our world today, we are seeing a rise of extreme nationalism. People, out of fear of the other, huddle together and turn against their neighbors. In today's political climate, it's easy to think in terms of us versus them, blaming others for the downturn in the economy or for the problems of society. God is speaking to our time through Jonah, who himself was a proud Hebrew. Jonah did not want God to show compassion to his enemies. And it is heartbreaking to see the same spirit alive today in wars across the globe, in the rise of xenophobia, even within the UK or even our home countries. And as Christians, God calls us to respond radically. We are called to love our neighbors and even our enemies. We're called to recognize that those we dislike, or even those who may cause us harm, might be like the Ninevites, people who don't know their right hand from their left. It's hard to have compassion on such people, but we're not called to harbor hatred or wish for their destruction, just as Jonah did. Instead, we are called to be a people of prayer and action, to intercede for our enemies, to turn the tide not with anger, but with compassion, to welcome outsiders, the scapegoated, and to care for them. As I mentioned, this call is truly difficult, but it is also good news. It is good news, though hard news, because while we were yet God's enemies, Christ died for us. This is where Christ differs from Jonah, or one of the ways he differs from Jonah. Instead of going outside the city to watch his enemies burn to the ground, as Jonah is sitting doing that here, Jesus was crucified beyond the city walls, arms extended for the forgiveness of all. We are called to be Christ's ambassadors to the world, and this means shining his light in our homes, schools, universities, workplaces, and this is no small task. We need the grace of God, his spirit, to breathe life into us and empower us to do this. And like Jonah, we may harbor anger and we may not always understand God's purposes, but we can trust his character, that he is compassionate, slow to anger, and that he is a good father to us, forgiving us when we rebel and patient when we are self-righteous. This is the God we serve. Out of love and compassion for all that he made, he dwelt among us, died for the forgiveness of our sins and the redemption of our world. And one day, this very messy world, we all know that it's very messy, will be set right. But until then, we are called to hold fast to our faith in Christ and remember his promise that he is with us always to the very end of the age. So the book of Jonah is not just about a runaway prophet and a big fish. It is about God's love for all creation and all nations, including those who love him and those who do not. This may be confounding, this may be confusing, but this is our God. He is compassionate towards all that he has made, with the gift of forgiveness on offer for all. And we are like Jonah. We run away from God, yet he pursues us. We get angry when things don't go our way or when we cannot understand, yet he is patient with us. And so our call today is a difficult one. It is to turn from our rebellion and return to God in repentance. It is to lay down our contempt and to take up compassion. And once again, we're reminded of our calling to love God and to love one another as ourselves. And we hold on to this hope that one day Christ will return and set all things right. And until that day, we are called to be a people of compassion, extending the same mercy and forgiveness we ourselves have received.